Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Did You Know? Success leaves footprints, and these footprints can linger long after the event. We're finding footprints left by dinosaurs from thousands and millions of years ago. Because as the climate is changing, some areas that have not been exposed for very long periods of time are beginning to show up. History is much like that, and that many events that have taken place have remained covered. What we do on this program is we attempt to remove the debris that has hidden these stories from view for so long. Long periods of time. And excuse that other phone ringing in the background. But as we look, we find that we can gently remove that debris, that clutter, that which prevents us from often knowing what is taking place. And when we do this, we expose the bare truth. Now, the bare truth to some people hurts, and it hurts more than we sometimes realize. I was utterly shocked the other day while listening to NPR, National Public Radio, and find that today, a real thing is taking place. People are threatening librarians, sometimes for books that aren't even in the library. And in this particular case that I heard that absolutely shocked me to my core, a parent came to the school and asked if they had a particular book. They did not. But it fueled future protest that got to the point where, to the best of my knowledge, the librarian resigned yesterday, had put in a notice earlier that she was resigning unless she could get protection because of the possibility of an idea, a thought, thought-provoking, thought that could have changed somebody's world. And so we're getting to this point. We're finding that some libraries are actually having to close because funding is being taken away. And we have to look at the significance of this because it's not just a place closing, because a library is filled with thoughts. It's filled with emotion, filled with fuel for our future. And when we start taking this away from people, now, people are not forced to read books. There are books that I don't like because we have opposing points of view. But sometimes I go to these books so I can try to understand why someone has a different opinion than I do. Now, in today's case, our primary subject for today is Dr. Joseph Jackson. Dr. Joseph Jackson fits into a unique category in that we use items every day, and don't know who discovered them or perfected them or improve them, because there are just so many that we don't know. But Dr. Jackson developed a tool that I use every day. In fact, I used it within a minute of coming on this particular show. And as we go into the discussion of what he has done, you too will remark, yes, I use this. I use it every day. I'm thankful for the inventor of it. Now, the reason that I bring that up is that in so many cases, talk about, it is people that we should know but don't know. And in this case, Dr. Jackson had a very, very rough beginning, a beginning that most people would not have survived, at least from the standpoint of success. And as we go into his story, I want you to realize the impact that it has on you, not just his final invention, not just what we can do and how it has improved our lives in everyday life, but the struggle that he had to go through in order to achieve anything meaningful in his life. It was a very difficult struggle. You see, Dr. Jackson didn't do well in school. Not at all. In fact, he had to repeat the fifth grade. The fifth grade. Now, most of us believe that at that point in our life, we're just coasting along. Now, before I get too far into this, there's something that I want to do, because many people are listening to us on their devices, and that is absolutely no problem whatsoever. And I want to bless you for listening and turning in that way. What I'm talking about is if you want to interact with us on the program, you need to call in. Now, you don't have to do it now, but if somewhere along the line you have a question, comment, disagree with something, you can interact with us, because I'm not just here to talk to you as much as I want to talk with you, is I want to find out what areas you are interested in for further programs. Now, I am the author of a blog post, and we post weekly. We posted this particular subject on Thursday, and on Facebook, I put notification Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and today, and we will go into another interesting topic next week. Now, when you see that topic, that's not the only topic that we are willing to talk about, because we have a show that is intended focus on those people, places, and events that have been left out of history. Now, how do you leave something out of history? Dr. Jackson is an obvious oversight, and it is a category of things that many of us don't know because it's not put out there. But we find many parts of history that have been taken out, and I find that they fall into two basic categories, primarily into two basic categories. I may find another later on, but at this point, that is my opinion. We don't find the horrors of slavery. We sometimes say, yeah, people were beaten. But just saying that does not give you the depth of what happened to the slaves in this country and around the world. Now, we have been persistent in our pursuit of maintaining a slave caste even after the Civil War. In fact, in many cases, it is more severe after the Civil War than it was before, because there's been a slick new coating put on it as if it is the right thing to do, as if there is a reason. And because of that, many people are carrying around guilt that they don't deserve to have, and many people are not taking pride in what they should do. And as a team, we are a team. In America, we talk about one America, when in fact there are two or more Americas. And as we follow down this path and follow this manner of presenting life in America, we are destined to split it into smaller and smaller fragments until it's all gone. The way that we rectify and bring us back to the center and bring us back to the principles upon which we were founded is to understand and know each and every person here. Now, that's impractical. I can't go out and meet a million or a billion people and know them. But much of the information that I have gotten about a class or group of people is wrong, absolutely wrong. And that includes the group that I belong to as well. And I think that's one of the great sins of this country. I think it ranks right up there with slavery. And because it is continuing, it is worse. If we find a problem and we make attempts to rectify that problem, it can be solved. But if we don't even recognize the problem, then we are in trouble. And that's what's taking place today. Now, as I talk about Dr. Jackson, at the time he didn't have a doctorate because when we left off, he had failed the fifth grade and had to repeat it. Now, if you have any idea to be like, just imagine the cruelty that children inflict on each other. I'm sure that when the next class came along, everybody knew, or if they didn't know, soon found out that Joseph flunked fifth grade. People are not kind to him. Well, evidently he got over that because he went back and completed the fifth grade to the sixth grade. And guess what? He failed the sixth grade and had to repeat it. Now, I'm sure that things are taking place that are not very pleasant for him because now he's 4 years behind his class. He has obviously grown and stands out for that reason, if nothing else, that he's probably taller, heavier, more developed than physically than his classmates. But something had him there. Don't know what it was, whether it was him, whether it was his parents. Now, this can be a positive or a negative because sometimes people are determined to do something. The people that are determined to do something are those great people that we hear about. They are the Edisons. They are the Bells. But there are people of color that we know as well. Dr. Charles Drew, who developed the blood bank, which is still in use today and saving countless lives, persisted in what he did. He made a contribution to the world. Many people may not even know his name, but they should. We have others that have succeeded beyond anybody's expectations. We had Eugene Bullard, who was a fighter pilot in World War I. We often hear about the Tuskegee Airmen. They were in World War II. And what was difficult about their journey is that anybody in the military could apply for pilot training. Anybody. Except if you were black. If you were black, you had to have a college education completed before you were considered. What's the difference? We have demonstrated what we were capable of in World War I because Eugene Bullard shot down enemy planes And without knowing the backstory, without knowing the full story, without knowing the entire story, Bullard was born in the state of Georgia, in the United States. And he ran away because the Ku Klux attempted to kill his father. His father was a large man. Argument with someone that persisted in bugging him. And the person that was on the other end of this argument was a white person. And that was not accepted in America. Sometimes it still is not. Because we have people that complain about the faintest of reasons for the barest of reasons, almost no reason whatsoever. And yet we're still having people killed at the hands of our respected authorities, the police and others, because of it. He ran away from Georgia. His father had told him that people in France did not have the same degree of resentment towards blacks as we had in America. And I believe at about the age of 12, he took off from Georgia and made his way to Norfolk, Virginia. 12-year-old kid. Now, that takes some fortitude to do. This is not Dr. Jackson. But I'm showing you what is capable and what is possible. When he got to Norfolk, he stowed away on a ship going to Europe. Happened to be a German ship. Can you guess how much German he knew when he got on that ship? None. But 3 months later, when that ship docked in Europe, he could speak German. He was fluent in German. But he wanted to make it to France. He made it to France. And he volunteered for the Foreign Legion. And he fought, and he fought with valor. He was wounded twice, the second time so severely that he could not go back into the infantry. He said, make me a pilot. They made him a pilot, and he shot down enemy aircraft. But the sad part of this story is that he fought with Americans because Americans had gone over and joined the Legion. And he was in their best fighting squadron. And when America took over that squadron, everybody except him. Anyway, let's go back to Dr. Jackson, Joseph Jackson. The man has flunked the fifth grade and repeated. He's flunked the sixth grade and repeated. People say lightning doesn't strike in the same spot. He flunked seventh grade and repeated. By this time, he's in excess of 16 years old. And he is in seventh grade. Now, he dropped out of school at this point and went into the oil fields, which is dirty, nasty, hard work. And he did that until he was 18 years of age, and he joined the military. He joined the military. Now, this record of success, many people would not have survived because so many people stumble once and they quit. We're not quitters, and neither was he, and that's the reason that I respect this man. I respect him because he dusted himself off and moved forward. No matter how difficult the challenge was, he moved forward. While he was in the military, something happened. We don't know what. Maybe it was the drudgery of the oil field work. Maybe it was something else. But we do not accept failure. Because failure is not permanent. Failure is a temporary place in our lives. temporary. Temporary. It can change. We go to school, and some well-meaning person says, you'll never learn this, which is one of the worst things that you can ever say to a child. It's one of the worst things that you can say to an adult. Maybe when he was in the military, he saw somebody that had the challenge and won. Maybe it was an instructor that told him, you can do this. Maybe it was an internal clock that allowed him to do this. Maybe it was the fact that the military is organized. Whatever it is, we find that as we organize our lives, we get things put together. We can do it better. I advise any of our younger listeners that one of the things that you want to do is to organize yourself. Organize yourself. And I know what it's like to be unorganized. I used to work and had to catch a bus every morning. But because I did not always organize my lunch the day before, I found myself many times chasing the bus, started my day off on a different note. I was buzzing at 100 miles an hour and getting nowhere at that time. But maybe it was the order that was bestowed into his life when he joined the military. Because we see an individual here that has repeated the 5th, the 6th, and 7th grades. In the military, he got his general education diploma, which is equivalent to a high school diploma. What would make a man want to try this again? After failing 3 times, we say that 3 strikes is out. He's had his 3, but he did not give up. When he was younger, he was inquisitive. And at one point, and this is a time during which we didn't have televisions, many people were thankful to have a radio. Many families would gather around the radio. And since you didn't need light, you'd generally be in a dark room. Maybe the only light was that on the dial of the radio that you were on. Some people had radios that sat on tables. Some had radios in large cabinets as big as a television. But that's what we had to do in order to receive information. Most of the time it was entertainment, not information. But we can do that with our televisions. We can change. We have options. And when we first got television, we had a choice of 3 stations, 2 of which were good. 1 wasn't very good. And it came from a station 70 miles away. It came out of Asheville. We never got that station very clearly. And you had to have a giant antenna on your roof. Generally, you could look at the chimney on a house and tell whether they had a television. Well, this inquisitive young kid basically tore up the family's radio. Why? Because he wanted to find the little people that were inside. He was convinced that hearing a human voice from inside this box had to come from human beings. And they must be small to live inside this box. And so he tore it up. Now, I can guarantee you what would have happened in my house. I would have been torn up for doing this. I don't know the words that his father used. I don't know whether he was kind or not. But it was explained to him there were no little people living inside this radio, that this was reproduced in a different manner. Now, when he went into the military, He wanted to go to radio school because he was inquisitive. And maybe this is what drove him to get his GED, because he had to have that in order to go to radio school. He had to have it. Maybe seeing what he wanted and what he had to have in order to get it is what drove him. But the importance at this point is that he was driven. He was motivated. He did what was necessary in order to accomplish his goals. We sometimes look at our goal and say, well, it is not that important. But your goals are important to you and in many other cases to someone else. I was thinking today, because I used to go into Skagit County in Washington State, and there they would grow tulips. And these tulips were exported all over the U.S. and probably all over the world. And what was unique about them is that they came in all colors. And I can just imagine somebody developing a unique color or pattern in those flowers. Does that make a difference to me? At that point, it didn't. But I can begin to see the importance. And somebody would say, I'll give you a bucket of money for the, for those, because they are unique. So we see that a goal can be anything you set out to do. I have in my house now two frames, or two or three, I think, that came from a postman's wife. And what she did is she took pine cones and leaves and things and made pictures with them and sold them. Now that, to me as a kid, was nothing. But as I look back at them, I see the imagination. I see the effort. I see the pride that probably went into this work. And he sold them while he was delivering mail. And my mother bought some, and they have persisted as almost as treasures. I don't know who even put them together. But it is important. We see that futures have been made. Financial success has been made. Somebody that developed a cookie or a piece of candy or a loaf of bread. All of these things are important to us every day. Somebody is making a more healthier food that we could have. And somebody else is scoffing at it, probably until they taste it. You know, I look at the world of plant-based food, and I could not imagine that replacing a piece of meat, because I'm a meat eater. I love meat. I love fish. In fact, I had a good friend, and a couple of weeks ago, we were at his home enjoying fish, and I couldn't see myself doing it with some plant or another, but that was a great time. And many of our experiences come from breaking bread together. My mother had a passion for cooking and serving food, and she ran a restaurant in excess of 40 years until her health declined. But that gave her so much pleasure. When I was a kid, I saw it differently than I did as an adult. As a kid, I saw it, okay, how long are you going to work? She would say, until you got out of college. I got out of college. She's still working. And it wasn't because she was paying my college bills. It was because she enjoyed doing it. And I came to the realization that she was doing something that she loved to do. Now, some people are working and they find work tolerable, but they have in their mind somewhere that they can do better. And they can. And sometimes people have a choice of whether to quit what they're doing and start something else, or whether they can do both. And sometimes that is the way to go. But here we have a man that was interested in radios. He did the impossible. He got his GED, and he got it because he worked, because he persisted, because he had tenacity. And this is what started him on a journey, Cess. In the military, he was stationed at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And while in Fort Bragg, after he was able to go to radio school, he was able to open his own radio and TV repair shop. He did military in the day and did this at night. And this further fueled his desire to do more, to seek success. This is what we find, folks. This is the story. This is the legacy that this man has left us, that it is never too late. It is never too difficult, because things come together. And when we find that there are many ways of solving the problem, at one point my pride was so great, and I never would have admitted it. It's only after coming to the realization that I even had it that it makes any difference whatsoever. And that is, I refuse to pick up any book for dummies. I'm not a dummy. I ain't know anything, but my pride wouldn't let me do it. This is exactly what I needed to do. Sometimes even in subjects that I knew, because they went through things point by point. And many times we want to delude ourselves, fool ourselves, tell ourselves that we know more than we do. And when we go back and look at the basic principles, sometimes things begin to make so much more sense that we are amazed at what we thought we knew, what we thought we knew. And in this case, Jackson did not know it because he had not had the training. And we sometimes look at training or exposure to experiences as the same as intelligence, and it's not. It is not. I remember in 1957, I went to Boy Scout Jamboree in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. I'm from South Carolina. We're on a bus, and as we go north, we stopped at a place for breakfast, and they had hash browns. Now, I had never seen anything like this. We always had grits. And I called long distance to tell my parents, they serve potatoes up here for breakfast. It wasn't because I was stupid. I'd just never been exposed to it. There were probably people down here that had done it, but I was not exposed to it. And so we sometimes equate the lack of experience with ignorance. As I've told the story many times, when we finally went to a school that had a cafeteria and they had peaches and cottage cheese, I thought it was supposed to be peaches and whipped cream. And I thought they were trying to poison me because my whipped cream was lumpy and sour. And my mother explained to me that it was cottage cheese and it's served a lot. We just happened not to have it at home. But again, that is lack of experience. We sometimes find, and I remember an incident when I was working as a law enforcement officer. I met a car. Car didn't dim their lights. I stopped the car. The young driver was there. I said, "You failed to dim your lights." The young driver said, "I don't know how." Now, what do you mean you don't know how to dim the lights? Well, it didn't take me long to figure out what the problem was. Most cars had the dimmer switch on the steering wheel or close to the steering wheel. She was driving an old car with the dimmer switch on the floor. I said, look at that thing right there. Put your foot on it. Press it down, and the lights change. And, you know, you would think that that person is dumb. No, that person is not dumb. They just have not been exposed to it. Not being exposed and being ignorant are two different things. Two completely different things. And so as we go through our lives, don't take a lack of exposure, a lack of understanding of something at this point in time as ignorance, because you can comprehend it. There are many ways that you can do it. I have learned so much when I found the internet and was able to look up so much stuff. I can look it up and read it. I can look it up and see videos of it. I can have experts explain it to me. I can listen to experts as they talk about it. Now, let me give you a hint here. Many times we will listen to something as we do in real life. But with the miracles that we have in our technology today, I can listen to something, and if a word or phrase comes up that I don't understand, I can stop it. I can replay it. I can replay it over and over. And if I come across a term that I don't know, I can repeat it into my computer, and many times it will figure out what the word is. This comes from voice recognition. Software is making advantages. Sometimes just saying the word in it, it cannot pick it up. Because in many cases, what is taking place is the computer is able to recognize the word by the context in which it's used. And I find that sometimes I am so far off on spelling a word that it's not funny. But the computer has understood and gave me the word, or gave me references that I can use to understand the word or the concept or the phrase that was used. And we don't often take advantage of this. We go into a speech, even a sermon, and we sometimes misinterpret it. But most of us have the ability to record that on our cell phone, can record the whole thing, can listen to it again and again and again until we get all of the information out that we need. We can then transfer it to a computer or some other device. And in some cases, we can even transcribe it using software. You hear something, you have it printed out. All of these things are available. So we go back to Joseph Jackson. There is a tremendous amount of change taking place here, because I'm suspecting that he was very unorganized in his earlier days, that he didn't know the difference. He wasn't able to put things together. I don't know what his childhood was like. But to many people, I suggest that we try to write down what we have learned, either write it down or dictate it. Most of us have cell phones. I'm on my cell phone right now. But I could be recording exactly what we're talking about, except for the fact that this broadcast is being recorded as we speak. And I can go back and listen to it again and again and again. I can transfer that to my phone or to some other device and have it in perpetuity. That means forever. So we have available to us many resources. Many people are not going to listen today because there is a football game on. But guess what? I can record the football game. I can record this. I can do both. I can watch the game and go back and listen to this. So we sometimes don't use common technology, common sense that would benefit us, because there are people that can benefit from this, that can go back and look at a time when they gave up on themselves. But Joseph Jackson never gave up on himself. He ran this shop successfully for years, which meant he had to be organized. He had to know which set. He had to have organized knowledge in order to repair them. But he learned so much that at present he holds 6 patents. 6 patents. Now let's talk about the discovery that he made. When we got our first television set, in order to change to one of these 3 stations, I had to get up and walk across the room. Sounds like a journey of 100 miles, doesn't it? It's not that far, but it's inconvenient. I had to walk over there and turn a dial. And I had many friends that later had to walk over and turn that dial. And that knob was one that wasn't often the best in the world, because many times it broke. And many people would go over and have to grab pliers and grab the little stem that was sticking out and turn it. That's what it was like to change the station on the TV. If the volume was not right, you had to repeat the same procedure and do that. Now, somebody got wise, very, very wise, and made a very popular device, and that was a remote control. But there was a problem with it. It had a wire. So that wire had to be long enough to reach across the room. And guess what happens to a wire that goes across the room? It becomes a tripping hazard. And those of us that are old enough to remember that there was a device that we could have, but be careful, don't trip over it. And the first thing you know, somebody comes in the house, does not think about it, and trips over this thing. Might even pull it out. But those were the hazards. Dr. Jackson, Joseph Jackson, the same individual that had to repeat the 5th, the 6th, and the 7th grade, and couldn't get into radio repair because he did not have a high school diploma, got that high school diploma, got that knowledge, understood and worked it well, developed a wireless remote control. Wireless remote control. I've got mine right here within hand's reach. And I use it often, and particularly during this season of the year, because I can change and watch a football game. And if it gets boring, I can change and watch another one, or another one, or another one. Right now, I have access to all of the NFL games, but I don't have to get up and walk to the TV every time I want to change one. If I see the momentum in a game changing, I can switch to it. I can go to my cell phone and look up the scores as they currently are. And if both of those games are a little bit on the sad side, I can change to a different one. But most of that is accessible because Joseph Jackson refused to give up. Refused. Now, again, this is one of those things that we don't often know who developed what, because I couldn't tell you who developed the flat screen TV, and I see that we're going back to curved screen TVs. I couldn't tell you who developed the color that we're now able to use. I remember color TV sets were so expensive back in the day. They would cost $600-$700, and this is back when many people were making $40 a week. Now we can get a giant screen TV for basically a pittance compared to what we could get back then. But this is because we grow. We move on other people's knowledge. But the main story I want to get through to you here is that Joseph Jackson didn't quit. He is not a quitter. Being a person of color, we often didn't get choices of what we did when we went into the military. And it's a fairly recent thing to happen because many people fought in World War One, many people fought in World War Two, and many heroes were there because they were lucky. We talk about the 369th, the Harlem Hellfighters, the 370th, and the 371st. And I just got a text today from the great niece of Freddie Stowers, the first black to win the Medal of Honor in World War One, the first. There were probably many others deserving. We had Johnson, Henry Johnson, out of the 369th that was stationed here in Spartanburg, South Carolina, my hometown, that I was well into my 60s, 70s before I ever learned about him. And this is what I want to spare you, my friends. I do this so that you will understand that just because you didn't see it in a history book doesn't mean it didn't happen. Because you didn't see it in a history book does not mean that it did not happen. Because there is so much. And as I started off, I said they don't want you to know the brutality of slavery, the full story, the full humiliation, full denial of human rights to people. And they also don't want to know you to know the successes. This is why they pass laws to say that it was against the law to teach a person to read and write. It wasn't because it was a waste of time. It was because they were too proficient in doing so. When you look back and find that when we won a couple of years ago, Xavier, I cannot remember her full name at the present time, won the Scripps Spelling Bee, that she was not the first. The first happened, I think, in 1908 or some early year. And the superintendent of the New Orleans schools was almost fired. Was she a New Orleans student? No. But he allowed white students to compete against her. There has to be something that they know is so damning that you cannot compete. In many places, when you look at the life of Peanut Johnson, Mamie Johnson, one of three women to play professional baseball in the Negro Leagues and pitch against some of the best hitters in the world, and she had a record of 33-8. 33-8. We don't know about her, but it's not because of the capability. And she got her name because she was one of the loudmouth batters, said, "You ain't no bigger than a peanut." And yet she struck him out, and he was one of the best hitters in the league. Now, we sometimes think that the Negro Leagues may have been inferior. No, they were not. When Jackie Robinson went to the Brooklyn Dodgers, he started in the farm league like other people did. But when he made it there, he was not the best player in the Negro Leagues. But he had the temperament. He could understand what was going on. And we see opportunities that were given to him. Many times, I just had a discussion about this with somebody recently. We see the coffee brand chock full of nuts. And we don't realize that that made his life after baseball much more meaningful. Why? Because he was a vice president of Chock Full of Nuts. And this allowed him to continue his activism. Now, Joseph Jackson has gone on and developed 6 patents to his name. Six, including this wireless remote. And yet he flunked the 5th, 6th, and 7th grades. Somewhere along the line, people were probably telling him that he was dumb, that he couldn't do it. But he, as should you, not listen to that foolishness. Because our Creator did not make a bunch of junk. I'm going to, sometime in the fairly near future, come out with a series on autism, because we have many children, many adults on the spectrum. We don't understand it, and therefore we don't bring out the best that we could. I had a cousin, did not have very much contact with him, but they hid him from everybody because he was deaf. He was a deaf mute. He couldn't hear. He couldn't talk. And so they hid him. When people would come to the house, he would have to go into the closet. I don't know if they were ashamed of him or ashamed of the fact that he was related to them. But we know now, when we see people like Haben Girma, who in addition to being deaf and mute, well, she's not mute, in addition to being deaf, is also blind. But a Harvard Law School graduate who is still working on the part of disadvantaged people. There is no such thing as a disadvantaged person because they can continue to work. Sometimes we protect people too much and don't allow them to bloom. Don't allow them to flower. Don't allow them to brighten the world with what they bring to it. I am always enlightened and delighted when I read stories about a restaurant that only hires people with limited capacity. And what do they find out? They find out that these people are extremely devoted to what they are doing. Is there any shame in that? No, none at all. And we find that I'm sure some of them are going to go on to greater and greater things. I remember as a law enforcement officer stopping a vehicle. And I could tell as I approached the vehicle that this person was scared out of their wits. They were absolutely afraid. It was a young lady. And the reason, I'm not sure the total reason, but I know why she was afraid. She was afraid because she was deaf, a deaf mute. She could not talk. And she pointed at her ears and whatever, and I knew instantly because I'd worked with deaf people. And I began to communicate with her in American Sign Language. The relief that came over this young lady was so great. I am not saying in any way that she was different than anybody else except for that fact. And she was able to communicate beyond that fact. We have passed the days when we should be ashamed of people. We are past the days when we should limit anybody is able to do because of what we perceive to take place. when the Tuskegee Airmen, some of the bravest pilots in the world, came back into civilian life, they couldn't get jobs as pilots in the commercial industry. Now, they've gone through all manner. And one of the secrets to their success is when the white pilots were escorting planes, they would see an opportunity to become a hero, if you will, and break off and leave the plane unattended. These people know. That was their job. That's what they did. And they did so under the most horrendous conditions you can imagine while being shot at. The fact that they never lost a plane that they were escorting did not mean that they didn't lose some of their own members. But the bravery, the tenacity, the stick-to-itness that they demonstrated was all lost because the people running the airline said, well, a white person might not want to fly with you, so I'm not going to hire you. Not going to fly with the best pilots in the world because of what somebody thinks. People may think something about you. I know that even as a police officer in uniform or law enforcement, because I was with the sheriff's department, not the police department, and most of us still to this day don't know the difference between the two. And generally a police chief is hired by a city and reports to the city manager, the mayor. There are different forms of government, and one day we'll get into that. Whereas the sheriff is an elected position. We used to come across people from white supremacist groups, Posse Comitatus and some of the others, and the police had problems with them. But we didn't, because the sheriff is mentioned in the Constitution. At one point, King County got rid of their sheriff's department and became the King County Police. I think that decision has been reversed, and they have gone back to an elected person. Getting rid of one in such a position is different than it is to fire a chief because of the way that they are selected. So we need to know these things, people. You know, we are right now in some very, very difficult times. And as I change subjects a bit, I want to talk to you about what is taking place. We are going into the midterms in terms of voting. Why is it called midterm? Because it's halfway between presidential elections. Some of us get the idea that the only important election is the presidential election. And that is so far from the truth that it's not funny. And let me tell you why. The reason that the current administration is able to get some things done is because we have a 50-50 split in the Senate. The Senate is sometimes referred to as the upper chamber. It differs from the House of Representatives because the House of Representatives is based on the population. We do a census every 10 years. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I believe the census that was done last is a good census because the administration did so much to scare people out of registering for the census that it became skewed. And what does that mean? It's not symmetrical. It's cattywampus. And we sometimes hear about this. So what's happened is a lot of people are not represented because they did not get into the census. And what we're finding is that states like Wyoming, with 600,000 people, have two representatives. California, with 40 million people, has two representatives. So 600,000 people can cancel what 40 million believe. And then we take places like Washington, D.C., which has 700,000 people, more than the state of Wyoming, and don't have a vote at all. They have a representative there, but it's non-voting. So what good is that? What good is that? And so what they do is they draw districts, and they draw them in such a manner. Right now, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is an extreme right-leaning person, has so many black people that she represents. Why? Because they drew a line so that black people would not have two representatives, but instead only one. Because she is not going to represent those people. If we don't participate year elections, then we need to be ashamed of ourselves because we've basically given up on our democracy. Back in the 1960s, I worked with an individual running for lieutenant governor who happened to be a black individual, and I've had him stay at my home when he came into the area, and I worked with his campaign, and I was working with Republicans. And when it came time to vote, they said, we hope it rains. Why? Because Democrats don't go out in the rain. In other words, they're saying that Democrats aren't committed, that we give up. And what happens? We see the swing. Let me explain this to you. Usually when a person is in office in the midterms, the other party is so jacked up from their loss that they come out. But those people that think, I'm in the catbird seat now, don't. And this allows them to replace so many people. Well, why is there a replacement? Because we don't replace all of our representatives and all of our Senate at the same time. They're staggered at best. Senators serve 6 years. Representatives serve 4. And when we look at our representatives, every 2 years, one of them is on the ballot. I'm not sure exactly what, but I think every 2 years a senator is up. And so we see that the election in those off year, it's hard to find a word to describe what I'm trying to tell you. But we lose ground when we do not take our responsibility to vote seriously. When we see a black lady at 102, 104, 106 standing for hours in a line, that ought to make us ashamed to not vote, to not participate in this democracy. And when we see people attempting to make it difficult so that it is a crime to give a 102-year-old person a bottle of water, something is seriously wrong, folks. Something is seriously wrong. Make a commitment now that you are going to register and that you are going to vote, and you're not going to be turned away. John Roberts should be ashamed of himself when he gutted the voting rights bill. This is why it is so difficult. And if we do not vote in this election, I don't care if you vote the way I want to vote or the way that somebody else wants to vote. The important thing is to vote. I think most people will vote the way that I would like to vote. But I don't want to make this a political discussion. But we have a responsibility to this government, to ourselves, to our children, to our grandchildren, to stand up for what we believe. I don't want my grandchildren to come up to me and say, what did you do about this? And I say, nothing. Did you go vote? No. Well, what in the hell did you do? I figured Bubba could vote for me. Bubba ain't voting for me. I'm voting for me. And you should take that same stance. I challenge you to do that. I challenge you to do that. I'm going to give you the number once more because we're going to open the mics very shortly. We'll take questions that may come up. We'll try to answer them. We'll try to steer you in the direction. If you disagree with me, let's hear that as well. Because as I have been on committees, even as chairman of the committee, I tell people, I don't want you to argue just for the sake of arguing. But if you disagree with me, say so. Because if all of us agree on one thing, we don't even need this committee. We just have one person do it. We know that in a governmental form is a dictator. Most of us don't want that. So, come on. The number is 646-668-8217. Again, that's 646, the area code, 668-8217. You can use that anytime that we're on. Crown Talking Drums, blogtalkradio.com/CrownTalkingDrums. You can see the programs. You can go back and get and hear again what we've said because you can replay a program. And that's one of the beauties of what we're able to do. We want to share it with your friends that are so interested in football that they can't bother themselves to listen. They can listen at another time. But I'm going to tell you something. People that make excuses only make them to please themselves. They are more interested in that. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with it because I am very interested in the game of football. I played it. I played it in high school. I played it in college. I even played it afterwards because we had a charity bowl in which pitted the law enforcement against the fire departments in the area, and we raised money for charities. And later it became the police versus the sheriffs. Oh, man, those were some good days. A full adult people, and the reason that it stopped was because of insurance. The insurance costs were just absolutely staggering, and I can understand that. But we did what we could. Somebody else can come up with other ideas to raise money. Make a challenge. Call me sometimes, and let's see if we can't make a challenge for something better for our community. But we need to discuss these matters. Not only as people of a community of color, but people that do not belong in that community don't know what they are fighting because they have not lived the experience. They need to know that. We are not a nation that functions well with ignorance, but when we close our libraries, when we don't want to understand anybody except ourselves, we are going into a cave. We're going into ignorance. We're going in backwards in time. Our present builds our future. And if we are so disinterested in it that we have to spend our time in the past, that we have to spend our time with hatred, then we're going backwards fast. Now, at this point, I do see my friend on, Marshall James. I'll see if he has any questions. Anybody else is welcome to join in this part of the communication. But Marshall is where we had the great fish fry. It was a time of fellowship, sharing of ideas. And we do have different divergent ideas there. And that's what makes us strong as a community. Because we don't shy away from these things. We talk about them. It is not a single race group either, because we have people there of different races. I think that's what America is, and that's what makes it great. Marshall, are you with us?
Yes, sir, Mr. Abercrombie. How are you doing today?
I am doing fine. Still thinking about that great fish. I could have a couple more pieces.
Yes, you know we're going to do it again just as soon as everything gets back to normal a little better. We've been had struggle look like with some sickness around, but everything is getting back to normal now. And I'm so glad that you're explaining to us about the importance of the vote. That is so important. Till we met at my church the other week, and we met for 45 minutes trying to figure out a way. And when we left there, I think we left in about bad a shape as we were when we went there, because we have not found out some kind of way to get our people to come out where we can really talk to them. Everybody's so split up, can't get nobody hardly to do not a crowd unless you're going to feed them, and after they eat, they're going to leave. So what do we do?
Yeah.
What do we do?
I know the feeling.
Yes.
It's kind of like whistling in the wind or doing something else in the wind.
That's right. That is true. But I'm so glad you explaining the importance of a vote. We just have to get out and vote. Midterm, whatever term, long as it's somebody running for public office, we should vote. Your vote really counts. Yeah. I had an uncle, he never did vote because some white man told him his vote didn't count. Well, my vote may not have counted, but it counted to me.
Yes, sir, it did.
Yeah, you being heard with your feeling. Look, I voted, man. Hey, I voted. You can make conversation out of that. So sometimes you go places and they see that sticker on your man, you voted. Yes, I voted. Great. You'll find out that people, you can get a conversation going sometime, because people do understand the importance of a vote. And it don't have to be black people all the time that say these things, and it's not black people all the time.
Right.
Yes.
Now, we saw an example of what a vote makes a difference in the Breonna Taylor case, for example.
That's exactly right.
The attorney in that case said there's nothing to proceed on. But we find that the federal government has said, yes, there is, and we're going with it. Now, when we make a vote for the solicitor or prosecutor, whatever it's called in your area, we are determining that. When in Florida, I think DeSantis recently fired an elected official because he was not going to take all these people to court over the issue of abortions. That person has a lot of power. And I think the people have spoken, and they should have their representative. But we see people playing with the system all the time. In Minnesota, the reason that we got a conviction on Chauvin is because the black attorney took the case and proved the case. Somebody else may have said, there's nothing here. Look at what happened in the Arbery case. They had basically turned it over, said there's nothing to see here. There's no crime. But we got convictions on three people for violating the civil rights of this young man whose crime was being black in a white neighborhood. Is that the kind of country you want to live in? Not me. But we can make a difference. And we need to go out. And we need to make that vote.
Yes, that's correct. I remember when Barack Obama was running for president and all the blacks were lined up to vote, and we were in Spartanburg voting, and there was a young lady in line, and she had three children. And somebody tried to help her with the kids, and they told her, said, well, you can take a break if you want to. And I stand. She said, no. And that was seemingly one of the most important things I ever heard in my life. How that young girl said, I don't care. I'm staying right here in this line. I'm going to vote. I'm going to stand here today. And we stayed in line, I think it was 3 hours and 45 minutes in order to vote. Well, I could have voted because I'm over 65. I could have voted, but I didn't want to. I wanted to get in the line, stand in the line with the people, be a part. You are part of what's going on. I'm a part of it, but I don't want to be different. We all the same. We all standing up for the same thing. That young girl was there for her vote to count, so it was out there for my vote to count.
And we don't realize that we are a role model whether we want to or not. And when people
yes.
see us there, it might influence somebody else to do the same.
That's right. That's what that girl did. She influenced. She influenced. I said, well, you mean to tell me that young girl says she going to vote. And I don't know who she is, but I know she's glad today that she did what she did. I don't know if she been voting or not. But she stood right there in line and said, no, you're not to give me no break. I'm fine. I'll be right here with my kids. Had three children.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Stood
now,
right
if we didn't have people vote for Warnock and Ossoff in Georgia to make that a tie, can you imagine how hard it would be to get anything passed these days? Anything passed by the Senate? Nothing. Because they are got their heels dug in. They're not going anywhere. They're not moving. They're not doing anything. But we can change that. A little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, but it's always progress.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And Mr. Herschel Walker, I just cannot understand him. But then again, if you know him, this is not the first time that he has made moves and steps in this direction, and you know, we wondered why. So I guess that's just him. I thought at one time it may be the money, but then I don't know.
Yeah, well, see, they want to. They'll spend the money because if they can break up that those two seats that they have there, then if it goes to 49-51, we're in trouble.
In trouble. That's true. That's true.
Big trouble.
Yeah.
And I hear what he has to say, and I don't agree with with him at all. He might have been good on the gridiron, but he ain't good in a Senate seat. He's not going to be good for any of us.
I think Mr. George Wallace said it the best. I heard him this week on radio, and I think he said it best, because if George Wallace didn't let him have it, then I wonder why it is that we don't ever hear of George Wallace being in this town. I hear that in California, out there on the Strip, that man don't have to leave. He don't even have to leave California. They pays him to stay there. They don't want him to leave. Mr.
Mm-hmm.
George Wallace.
No,
the comedian George Wallace.
Comedian? You're talking about the comedian?
Yes, the comedian George Wallace.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yes.
Because there was a George Wallace who was a governor and
yeah.
ran for
yeah,
president.
Yeah, that's right. Need to clear that up. It certainly wasn't him. No, the comedian George Wallace. Yes.
And so here's one thing I want to point out. You think one person doesn't make a difference, but George Wallace stood in the schoolroom door to prevent blacks from coming in. He said
right.
segregation yesterday, today, and forever. Now, when he was running for president, he was shot, and he was paralyzed in a wheelchair.
That's
and
right.
one of his opponents, by the name of Shirley Chisholm, visited him. And I think he saw God that day because he changed his position on segregation and came out and has done some things that show that he was sincere about it. One person can make a difference.
Yes, sir.
But you can't make it if you're hiding in the corner in the dark. afraid to open your mouth. We have that courage, and we see what happens when we don't give up. I vote in every election. There's not one that's not important enough for me to vote in. I'm voting because people have died for the right to do it. People here in South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, Georgia, every state that you can imagine have died for the right for our people to vote. And to not vote is like spitting in their face. And I ain't doing it. I ain't doing it.
That's right.
Anyway, it has been my pleasure always to talk to you, Marshall.
Thank you,
now,
sir.
Now, did you guys work on that graveyard over the last week,
no,
I believe it was?
No, due to the rain, they just call it off. So I'm thinking that maybe we may try again next week at the Florence Chapel Church for the cleaning of the grave that we had started. And we had started back, and Saturday is supposed to be the day that we was took, but it rained. So maybe we'll go back out on Saturday coming. Don't have very much to do, but maybe we'll go back next Saturday.
Well, I'm gonna ask you something, and you can gracefully refuse if you wish to. But we may have some listeners close enough that are willing to help in the project. Can they call you to get an update on whether it's going ahead or not?
Yes, sir, they certainly can. They can just call Marshall Jamie, and that's 1-864-439-0130, and I will give you an update on whether or not we will be back out there on next Saturday from 9 until 12. What we really have to do is move the brush that we pile up in the middle of the graveyard. It looks so bad. We have someone that's going to come with the truck and with the lift and pick it up and put it in the dumpster. So all we'd have to do is pull the brush from inside the graveyard out to the edge of the road. That's what we have to
do.
Okay. Yes, sir.
I hope that we have some people that are listening and are willing to do this. Now, what happened, and I'll update you very briefly, is we have a friend of ours who happens to be a white guy, but he is very dedicated, and he discovered these two cemeteries. It's Florence Chapel and what's
New
the
Trinity.
Other church?
New Trinity.
And New Trinity.
Yes,
and there were people
well.
Living in that neighborhood that didn't even know there was a grave site there that had that history going back. Do you remember the oldest stone that we found?
I think maybe 1836, I believe it was.
Okay.
Maybe
so you can see it's an important thing. And the
yes.
community help is what we use to restore our rightful place in history. So if any of you to help, like you said, it's only a 3-hour span, and it's a lot of fun. But 864-439-0130, Marshall James, can give
sure.
you an update as to whether we're doing that. And at this point, I plan on being there, so
yes.
maybe we can have questions and answers or something then.
Yes, sir.
Anything
and
else,
we'll
Marshall,
eat out
that you want to
when 12 o'clock come, they have hot dogs and everything for us to eat. They give us a little treat once we finish it. And that's at the Florence Chapel United Methodist Church on the old Spartanburg Road right there in Welford, right down the street from New Trinity.
Okay.
Yes,
let's
sir.
See what we can do
yes, sir,
next Saturday.
Right.
I appreciate all of the listeners, whether you're on phone or whether you're on your device. Let's come out and show that we are dedicated to our community and our people. I find that people like Marshall James, like Greg McKee, and so many others are much more interested in our neighborhood sometimes than we appear ourselves. And so let's show what we can do as a group. I want to join you again next week, same time, same station. It's been my pleasure. I look forward to this all week. We'll have a new subject post on AmazingBlackHistory.com next Thursday. Check that out. and over 250 other posts are there as well. And you can contact us on our Contact Us link for items that you'd like to see in the future, and we will cover them. It's been my pleasure. Thanks, one. Thanks, all, for being with us. Thanks to my friend Marshall, and I'm still trying to talk him into more fish. That was good stuff. More fish. And he does it. Marshall is older than I am, and I am older than dirt. And he is still active in his community, and I appreciate him so much. Marshall is like my brother, like my father. And you'll find that we do things together. We will probably go back someday to our storytelling event, and Marshall has worked with these, his brother Leon, our singers in the legendary James Brothers. So we'll see you again next week. Thank you, one. Thank you, all. And be blessed, my friends. Be blessed.
God bless you. Bless you.